the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. No matter where you are in the church around the world today, in Anglican churches and Catholic churches and most Protestant churches, we are all, as we do most Sundays, reading the same readings together. And this, all around the world, is often referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday, not least because of all of the references to sheep that we have in our readings. And in our hymns and in the anthem that the choir will sing, and indeed even in the blessing that I will give at the end of the service. Several years ago, when I was teaching Sunday school in a suburban church outside of Chicago, all of the little ones came out and were meeting their parents, and one of the mothers said to her sort of 4 or 5 year old, what did you learn about in Sunday school this morning? What did you learn was very important? And this little girl said, sheep. Which, you know, probably by virtue of repetition was what she learned, but wasn't exactly the message that yours truly was trying to get across. But there we are. We have multiple references to Jesus as this shepherd of the sheep, his followers, us, his flock. And I can see a wry smile on the face of Jeff Quayle, a sheep farmer of the Western District, who knows sheep probably better than most of us here this morning. We might be used to hearing Jesus being described as the shepherd of the sheep. It's a familiar term to those who come to church regularly, pretty unfamiliar if you don't. And even more unfamiliar is Jesus describing himself as a gate or a gate for the sheep or a gatekeeper. You might hear people say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but you'll very rarely hear them say, Jesus is my gate and my gatekeeper. You might get an even stranger look if you said that yourself. But Jesus' self-description is very much in keeping with this image and idea of himself as a shepherd of God's people, both then and now, a caring and courageous leader who will risk his own life to care for those in his charge. Now, a shepherd must have a place to put his or her sheep. And so naturally, a trustworthy shepherd would be or would have a trustworthy gatekeeper, someone who can open and close the gate to sheep only and not to foxes and not to thieves. So these images of Jesus as shepherd or a gate or a gatekeeper might appear somewhat strange to us for most of us in an urban 21st century setting, but to those who heard such descriptions, shepherds were a familiar sight around them. Indeed, some of them would have been shepherds themselves. And indeed, the language of God about being God being a shepherd was quite familiar. Throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, we hear, as did Jesus' audience, of God as this shepherd of his people. Whilst the exile of the Jewish people was cause for doubt, God was presented to them as a future shepherd, someone who would lead them into safe pasture. Jeremiah 31 states, "He who scattered Israel will gather him in and will keep him as a shepherd of the flock." We find in Isaiah also in chapter 40, quote, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs in his arms." And the prophet Ezekiel too speaks of God as the future shepherd of the people, the one who will lead them out of exile to the promised land. And this goes on and is repeated right throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, in Zephaniah, in Micah, in Sirach. And as the Jewish monarchy disappeared, the prophets spoke of a future figure, David, a Davidic figure, who would be a shepherd for the people. The prophet Ezekiel talks about there will be one shepherd who will form one flock. And I quote, "For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. Just checking, have I said sheep and shepherd enough so far? So all of that imagery, this idea and description of Christ as shepherd, of God as shepherd, is wrapped up in what Jesus has to say about him being the shepherd of God's people. Yet for all of that background knowledge, all of those textual references, all those readings they would have heard in synagogue week after week after week, Jesus, we hear, has to repeat himself, and he has to provide a much clearer explanation of what he's talking about. And so he does, not using, quote, a figure of speech, unquote, as John records, but rather speaking plainly. Obviously, you don't get what I'm trying to tell you. I am that shepherd. I am that gatekeeper. But why is he having to repeat himself? Who is this audience who simply doesn't get what Jesus is saying? Well, in this particular section of our patron saint's gospel, John paints Jesus' audience as the Pharisees, the leaders of a particular Jewish sect whose name derives from the Aramaic word meaning to separate. Guess what they did? They had separated themselves from mainstream Jewish tradition and accepted this description given them by their opposition, the Pharisees. Along with other temple groups, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, and temple communities are all, of course, Jewish, just as Jesus and his disciples are Jewish. Much of Jesus' opposition, we hear, comes from this quarter of the community. They are a group of people that find it the most difficult to believe that Jesus is the one that God has promised. In John's gospel, however, the Jews or the Jewish people, the Jewish authorities, have this much more nuanced and almost literary role, because their appearance in various parts of the text and in various conversations with Jesus is to highlight some key understandings about him and how to come to faith in him. So throughout the Gospel of John, when you read it, the Jews, or more accurately, the Jewish authorities, are presented as those who claim to sit in judgment upon Jesus and to examine those who are connected to him in any way. And we read this in chapters 5 and 9. They are described as being blind to the significance of Jesus' presence in chapter 8. And since they are not of the truth, they cannot hear his voice in chapter 18. They don't understand his speech because they cannot hear his word, back to chapter 8. And similarly, they misinterpret his works, we hear in chapter 10. So, to sum up, the inability to hear, see, and understand is seen in the Gospel of John as this special characteristic of this small group of Jewish authorities. And their fate as a result is one described as perpetual sinfulness, chapter 8 again. And it's because of this representation of the Jewish people in John's gospel that this gospel and Christians have been accused of anti-Semitism. And whilst at surface level of the text this might appear so, I don't think it is the author's intent. John rather uses these sects of the Jewish religion establishment as a caveat, a sort of a fall guy, to help his readers see Jesus for who he really is. He has the Jewish authorities questioning Jesus so that we can understand and his readers can understand who he really is. In other words, by presenting these authorities as religious leaders who fail to see and recognize the revelation of God in Christ, who is of course Jewish, John is helping his readers then, and I hope now, to see how easy it is to have misconceptions, preconceived ideas, or addictions to tradition that fail to recognize the very revelation of God in our midst. Now, this does not, however, atone for all of the anti-Semitism the church has fostered in its history, and for which Christians should be rightly sorry. Our relationship with the Jewish community in Melbourne in friendship and in prayer and in support and in fellowship, needs to continue to flourish, of course, as sign and symbol of our condemnation of anti-Semitism in all its forms in the Australian community. But just in case I haven't spoken enough about sheep, let's go back to Good Shepherd imagery. When we consider just some of the heritage and traditional imagery of God that Jesus is drawing upon, along with the already fractured community to which Jesus is speaking, we begin to realise, I hope, what power this image of Jesus as a shepherd really has. To the religious establishment, willing to adhere to preconceived ideas and traditions rather than accepting Jesus as their very incarnated fulfillment of their very own tradition, God in their midst, this idea of him as shepherd is antagonism of the highest degree. To the new listener to Jesus, it is divine revelation. The history and tradition of the Jewish people all points to this guy who are now calling people to follow him. He could literally be their shepherd. They could be guided by him. They could follow him. He could point them in the right way. He can take them into a community, close the gate behind them, metaphorically speaking, to protect them. To the undecided in the community, this lengthy scriptural reference to God as a shepherd gives weight that Jesus' claims about himself are solid and are grounded in the rich Jewish tradition to which many of Jesus' followers had encountered. We hear, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Jesus still calls his sheep, his flock, his followers. They respond because they know his voice. They hear the voice of calm, the voice of assurance, the voice of authority, the voice of scriptural tradition, and God's voice amongst the busyness and frailty of life. And we are those people. I don't like to be referred to as a sheep, but I will gladly take that title on with Jesus as my shepherd. And we are called to follow Jesus, and sometimes where Jesus calls us isn't always the path we think we should be on. And along the way, we might recognize in ourselves such unwillingness to see the action of God as being revealed to us in a new way. For in Jesus, the promised Good Shepherd, rests all the goodness and greatness of God, a God who has been faithful to God's people down through the ages. And this God is our God, who travels with us every day and never forsakes us and never leaves us. To him be all honour and glory, now and forever. Amen.